Hello and welcome to Moaz. Rohingya refugee children go through a lot. They've escaped death, witnessed murder, and crossed land and sea to find safety. Some have lost their parents in the chaos, while others have become surrogate parents to their younger kin. Up to 60% of the recent refugee arrivals to Bangladesh are children, many of them under 18 years old. Now in their relative safety, they face new risks and dangers threatening their future. Let's speak to one of the projects trying to help them.
In addition to painting murals, we did different kinesthetic activities of jumping up and down on one foot and making sounds, woo, 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 and thinking, you know, making different creature sounds and doing different kinds of performance and doing different kinds of puppetry.
Artolution is a community-focused project using art, expression, and music with refugees as a therapy. Max Frieder is its co-founder and co-executive director. He spent 5 weeks in the Balukali camp with local artists, teaching the refugee children to express themselves and to share their experiences and trauma.
So I've worked in refugee communities for a long time, and I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. There was just an unending spree of houses made of sheet plastic and bamboo on very muddy and dirt-covered hills spreading as far as the eye can see, and it's a very, very difficult place with an unbelievably high level of child labor, with very high levels of domestic violence, and additionally there's a very difficult feeling there of just the unbelievably large number of people. You know, one of the components that I really emotionally felt is you look at people and there's just such a high level of trauma for every person. And I think one of the biggest differences that I've substantially felt in this case is, unlike in other cases, for example, with the Syrian civil war, it's a horrific, brutal civil war. But unlike this, the Rohingya crisis is an ethnic cleansing, is really a genocide based on one specific ethnic group and the expulsion from their home. And so because of that, there's very different mental and psychological effects that come from an entire community being really, not just ostracized, but murdered and killed and raped and destroyed. And I think that is something that I really felt is number one, the unbelievably large amount of trauma that you can really feel in that community, but simultaneously to also feel the unprecedented amount of thirst and hunger for creativity and expression. And I felt that within the children and within the adolescents and within the families that I worked with, where many of these people had never had the opportunity to express themselves creatively, and being able to see them really work through some of their trauma and really establish some different types of coping mechanisms through the process of creative expression on a public scale through painting murals and building these public sculptures, something that was very powerful.
What things struck you about the children you were working with in Balukali?
I think one of the elements that really struck me within these children was, number one, their lack of exposure to creative expression as a healthy mode of dealing with what they've been through. I think there's some of those beautiful, incredible children that I'd ever really seen in many ways, just like children all over the world. But I think one of the difficulties was, you know, these children have no literacy, neither in Burmese or in Bangla or in English. So you're dealing with an illiterate population that has been through very serious trauma and who really has a very unique way of processing what they've been through. I mean, you're dealing on average with families between 8 to 16 children in a family. It was extraordinarily common to be able to see children that would come in and work in our workshop, which is on average 20 to 30 children per workshop, 2 to 3 slots per day. However, because of the unprecedented number of people there, we would have many times upwards of 100 to 150 children wanting to come and participate in a single workshop. And that was something that I think was very, very powerful, was being able to see how much these kinds of programs meant to these children. And, you know, whether it be coming and being greeted by this amazing excitement, where I would come and the entire community would come out and we would have 200 or 300 people all there just silently waiting for me and our team to do something. And once it started, it was just a huge flurry of energy. One of the great stories that I think I have is there was a real emphasis to try to have a very transdisciplinary approach to being able to get the engagement of these children at a very high level. And so in addition to painting murals, we did different kinesthetic activities of jumping up and down on one foot and making sounds, woo, 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 and thinking, you know, making different creature sounds and doing different kinds of performance and doing different kinds of puppetry. And one of the elements of that was getting children to be able to make masks, being able to make different kinds of costumes out of trash and recycled fabrics that we'd actually collected from the side of the road from some of the sweatshops actually in Bangladesh and Cox's Bazar. And one of the elements of this was that we poured it out in the middle of one of the child-friendly spaces we were working in, and all of these children gather around and they look at this in this kind of awestruck way, as though they'd never really seen anything quite like this. And they start grabbing this fabric and throwing it up in the air and start dancing and start singing and start really using this very simple medium and turning it into a mode of celebration. And this started to really infect the community, and I use the word infect in the best way possible, where there ended up being these very hardened men who walked over these very stern faces, and they looked at these children. I didn't know how they were going to react, whether they were going to be angry or whether they were going to be happy. And their response to this was to walk in and to start to grab this fabric. And they started to throw it up and to sing and to dance and to clap and to use it as this also mode of celebration. And the women from the community, who rarely ever leave their huts, where it actually came out, and they started to tie it around their head and they started to celebrate. And it became this reason, this bonding of having a reason to celebrate, any reason to celebrate.
Why community murals, and how were they useful for the children?
One of the components, I think, of these murals is that they're not just murals, but that additionally they are what is called the Foundstrument Soundstrument Project, which is a project that I've developed over the last really 10 years, worked in 7 or 8 different countries doing this work. And what it is having these children collect trash. And unfortunately, there is a lot of trash in these refugee camps in Balukali. And having the children be able to paint all these different objects, being able to use zip ties and wire and screws and nuts and bolts and nails, and make a sculpture which then is able to be used for music education on an ongoing basis, where these children are able to then use this sculpture with assistance of the artists that we've trained and with the local community facilitators that we additionally have been able to provide capacity building workshops for, where then they are able to use this to be able to express themselves in a healthy way. So rather than be feeling frustrated and hitting their brother or sister, instead being able to take that aggression and let it out by using drumsticks out on this Foundstrument Soundstrument, which we have incorporated into multiple of the different murals we created. I think one of the other elements that's very, very important to understand is these were the first murals ever created in the history of the Rohingya refugee camps. The work that Artolution was doing with our local artists was the first public arts program where public arts pieces were created by communities in the history of the Rohingya crisis. And I think that's very important for being able to create a model for what is possible. And that's so important of an example where you could tell children and adults and sometimes even the teachers and the parents, your children have talent. Your children can make something beautiful, and they won't believe you until they're able to see it with their own eyes and be able to hear it with their own ears. Then they can believe, wow, our children had more talent than we ever thought that they had. And I think that's a very important component when we start talking about murals, is that then one of the most powerful parts of this work is being able to watch the parents watch their children And that, I think, is very important, of being able to have these adults seeing that their children maybe are able to accomplish things they never thought were possible, and then being able to have local mentors and these local artists who have their own unbelievable stories, and having them be able to not only see what they're able to create, but then able to replicate it and scale it on an ongoing basis. And that, I think, is something that's very unique about these murals. And I think it's also something that's very different than conventional art therapy. You know, art therapy is very much rooted in this concept that you have a patient or a client, and you have a clinician that treats this single client. And rather than that, this is something where you have children being able to be dealing with their common traumas while simultaneously being able to make an impact into their community on a public, collaborative, and cooperative scale, which I think affects the lives of thousands of people on a daily basis and continues to this very day.
What kinds of topics were you working on with the children to illustrate?
We really worked on a whole range of different issues, which was really generated by the community. So rather than coming in and us telling them what they needed to learn, it was hearing what are the biggest issues in their lives, both listening to the adults and the teenagers and the children, and then being able to then generate a curriculum accordingly. Now, we have a standardized curriculum that we work with, but it adapts according to what the needs are of the different locations where we were working. So, for example, one of the projects that we did, we were asking what are the most important issues, and one of the children said, water. We need to talk about water. It's so important. And another little girl raised her hand and said, we should draw a woman at a water pump because that's how we can get clean water. And then another child said, what if we have soap in one hand and that represents the importance of us cleaning ourselves? And then one of the other children said, what if coming out of the faucet, we have dancing children who are all dancing about the importance of cleanliness with soap in their hands? And these amazingly lyrical and poetic concepts really communicate much deeper messages, where we ended up painting a woman with a water pump. Yet then one of the children said, what if we made the fountainstrument out of the water pump, and we were able to attach all of the different trash and recycled objects into that mural. Then we take another example of a mural that we actually did, if you'll believe it. There's a very interesting kind of sociocultural scenario that has really evolved in this camp that really has almost never evolved ever before, which is that because of the unbelievably rapid expansion of the Balukali camp, you had local Bengali people who were living in that community, who were living in that very kind of remote area, who, because of how rapidly the refugee camp expanded, their homes got swallowed up by the refugee camp, and that you actually had host communities that are inside of the refugee camp, which is a very difficult thing to fathom. And so because of that, you actually have a lot of people who are living right alongside, and there's some beautiful stories of some amazing helping hands and coexistence, and yet there's also some very, very difficult stories about ethnic tensions that have arisen between the local Bengali communities and the Rohingya folks who have come into the country. So because of that, we did a project with a local host community of the local Bengalis and the local Rohingya working together. And what they decided to show was a very kind of amazing poetic story where the children came up with this concept of saying, what if we represent our families? And this actually came from much more difficult, much deeper conversation where I asked the children to make drawings. And one of the girls made a drawing of all their homes being burned and all of the people being killed. And that was actually not just one girl, but many of the children made these drawings and of their families all walking and running on paths and across the river. And when I asked the girls, I said, tell me about what you painted. What they said is they said, we really feel that we would love to go back to Myanmar, but the only way we will go back is if our rival factions were killed. And this kind of education, where this is something that I think is modeled behavior, can really create a very difficult situation where it's very hard to fathom what does it mean to return, what does it mean to be stuck in this refugee camp, and what does it mean to try to think about what past conflicts mean for the future of the Jesus children's lives. And so when we ended up having a much deeper conversation with these children, we said, okay, how can we show this in a mural? And it was this amazing story where these girls came up with this concept. There's girls and boys, but these girls came up with this concept of saying, we really believe strongly that we need to show our families crossing over the Naaf River. So they decided to show themselves as elephants. They said, our families, what if we show ourselves as elephants, where these elephants are carrying their homes on their backs, that there will be the homes that we used to live in on our backs, and they'll be crossing the Naaf River to be greeted by the rooster, and the rooster to represent the hospitality of the Bangladeshi community. And that's what we ended up painting. So this idea of local host communities' relationships with the refugee Rohingya population.
Art Illusion is just one of many aimed at helping the new generation of Rohingya. They face considerable risks and dangers as vulnerable refugees. The rainy season is coming, and with it, disease and rising malnutrition. But the children are resilient, and they can see their environment. They want to change it, and for Max, it starts with a paintbrush. If you like this podcast, don't forget to hit like, comment, and subscribe for more podcasts from us. You can also follow us on our social media. Check out our latest updates on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Audioboom. Or you can donate to help us help Rohingya refugees. From all of us here at Moas, goodbye.